The Justin Robert Young Program is brought to you, as always, by Patreon.com/JURY. Again, Patreon.com/JURY. Support this show and get a custom RSS feed that makes sure you get all the extra goodies that come in as being a part of the Patreon, including the Friday Hype Trains. Man, these are massive, massive podcasts. But if you want some of the best, you know, just Diamond Club chatter and interaction, good times had by all, then, you know, become a patron. Patreon.com/JURY. And by the live shows that we are doing in San Diego and Los Angeles this weekend. If you were listening to this on Thursday or Friday, well, ask this question. Are you in Southern California? If you're in Southern California, then, you know, what do you say? You head on down, friends. You head on down to San Diego or Los Angeles. We've got live shows there Saturday in San Diego and Sunday in Los Angeles. It's the Night Attack show, so both me and Brian will be there. Bryce Neshcomb Castillo as well. It's going to be a blast. Special guests, surprises to beat the band. NightAttack.tv/tour is where you get your ticks. All right. Enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing? Gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome. My waking nightmare literally just happened. I literally, and this is, you know, nobody's fault, although likely my own. I'm just queuing everything up. Oh, man. And now it's kind of semi-resolved. I'm like getting everything ready to go. We got a busy day today, not only on this show where we are going to talk about Star Wars fandom, being pants drunk, are all massage places sexual assault havens? We've got your emails, including high thoughts, what people thought our bombing was, a really funny story about reading my political newsletter in a gay bar, and so much more. But as we are beginning, Taylee Zarrell, one of my favorite people on the planet, she constantly sends me pictures from her research of cutting mouse brains apart, and is always a stalwart here in the chat, just hits me with, "So did you get emails for the transgendered line on the politics show yesterday?" And Brian and I have talked about this on Night Attack, but there is an amnesia that kind of has to happen when you produce a lot of content. And I don't know if it is even better or worse when you're doing things by yourself, because there's no other triggers to hold those memories. It's not like I said a thing and I remember Bonnie frowning. you know, or I said this thing and Brian laughed. I said this thing and Bryce laughed. I said this thing and Andrew laughed. I said this thing and there was dead silence. Like, there's other emotional things that you can remember when all that comes up. But when I'm doing stuff by myself, it's literally just by myself. So either I remember feeling bad about something or, you know, that's that. Which is a long way to go to say that if I made a line about trans, and this is ultimately kind of betraying where this has gone. And by the way, this is all happening in the chat, like now, while we're recording on twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. I have a heart attack because I'm like, oh my God, A, did I say something that should get emails? And two, is my moral compass so far off that I didn't remember doing it? Like, oh, and now it's like every possible scenario in my brain is being calculated. And I'm like, oh God, like I did this. What did I do? What did I do? What did I say? Oh my God. And then like the fact that Taylor Zarell didn't like say like, oh, did you get emails for saying blank, blank, blank? And it turns out she did. Right. But in my head, I'm like, oh my God, is it something so unrepeatable that it can't go in the text? Oh my God, this is happening during Pride Month. Oh my God, we're trying to, you know, do these tours. Like everything that I've worked for is going down the drain. My entire career is being going up in flames. This is all panic, panic, abandon ship, turn off the stream, jump out the window. There's no other way that you can handle this. This is a total meltdown. Everybody, everybody, including the birds have to apologize too. I'm sorry to the birds. The birds are sorry. We're all sorry. Okay. And then she says, you said transgendered instead of transgender. It's a minor quibble, but something that people get upset about. And to that, I will say that there's a reason why I did not remember it. It's a slip of the tongue. I do know better. And I would like to apologize for what I said on PX3. And because this is a show about opening up and honesty and revealing one's inner voice, I would also like to say that I'm very relieved that that's the only mistake that I made. Because that is one for which I can very, very clearly apologize to. And I can now justify to myself that there was a reason why I didn't remember it. Whew. So, let's talk about Star Wars, huh? It was revealed this week that Kelly Marie Tran deleted her Instagram posts. I don't think her Instagram account, but has removed herself from social media after sustained harassment by Star Wars fans. People that are theoretically very excited about watching Star Wars movies. Now, I don't want to get into this, per se. I want to take a meta view on this. Because what I want to talk about is bad behavior. I want to talk about trolling. And I want to try to understand vitriolic online abuse. Because I do think that it is different than abuse. I often say on this and other shows that we are currently in a very awkward adolescence when it comes to communicating with each other. That social media's greatest benefit is the fact that we can all talk to each other, and the greatest detriment is that we can all talk to each other. Social media has effectively made every day, every waking second, a gigantic Thanksgiving dinner. Sure, it's good to see your family until you see your family. So, the difference between the IRL version of this and the online version of this is that everything on the internet is a de facto choose-your-own-adventure. You get to dial up or down what you want. You can block. You can not go on a certain service, you can invent a persona. You can do what you want. So, what I wanted to say when the Rose thing happened, well, I had one initial thought. My first thought, and this might be contrarian, but I blame my former career as a reporter on this, as somebody who has been burnt by making assumptions many times before, the first thing that immediately pops into my head is, well, let's take a look at that claim. She certainly deleted all of her posts, and I have no doubt that there is enough vitriol about The Last Jedi that she certainly did it because people want to complain about it constantly. But also, I'm just like, okay, well, let's just make sure. Because really all I did was see one link being passed around. I don't think that that's the biggest thing, but I'm just walking you through my mind. The second was that what I saw was a lot of people, rightly, I mean, rightly in that I understand where they're coming from, becoming very, very, very upset with the people that ran this woman off social media, that made social media intolerable for her. And now, by the way, I will also say this. That's not only, like, social media for an actress isn't just a thing that she has, like the rest of us have. That's a part of her earning potential. Beyond, like, brand deals, like if Fendi wants to come to her and say, hey, hold a bag and we'll pay you $10,000 and put it on Instagram. Stars, real stars, people who get paid a lot of money to be in movies, are in movies as much for the press tour as they are for their acting. Awareness of a film is 90% of it. And having a social media presence is something that actively helps. It's the new version of, are you willing to go on a press tour for 2 weeks? Are you willing to go on a European press tour? Like, that will still happen, but they're also going to want to see you tweeting the trailer and tweeting when tickets are available and tweeting about what happens on set. This is the reason why The Rock gets paid as much as he gets paid, because that motherfucker works social media like nobody's business. And in 2018, that means a lot. So for her to go off social media, that's big. That fucks with her money. It means a lot. So here was my second thought. When we see this, why is our first instinct to shame the bad folks and not to counteract them? Let me reframe that. Somebody calls me a piece of shit on Twitter. You see it. You, the listener and the viewer. Is your first instinct to call that person who called me a piece of shit? Or is it to say, with no strings attached, I love your work. I think you're a good person. Given only those two options, what is your choice? Because I think the conversation around that woman leaving Twitter, that actress leaving Twitter, was far more about the people that made her leave Twitter than it was about how awesome she is and how much she deserves to have a platform. And that's what interests me. So, that was my first thought. And so that led me to tweet something. One of my favorite moments in The Last Jedi, spoiler alert, is when this Rose's character makes a pivotal decision in the plot to save another character, despite their motivations to heroically sacrifice themselves. And in that, what kind of caps, really, I think, the story of that, or the moral of The Last Jedi as a whole, is that saving those we love is what moves us forward, not fighting those we hate. So, I wanted to make that point. I didn't want to talk about her getting pushed off social media. I just wanted to say that her character, although some of the Canto Bight stuff I found a bit frivolous, was the through line for that movie for me, and I very much appreciated that line. And I hoped that the background of why everybody was talking about her would be enough to fill in kind of the larger point I wanted to make. But that the moral of Twitter for me is always going to be bigging up those that I love and not ignoring those I hate, but working toward them in a way that I believe is more effective. Now, what happened? Well, I immediately had to learn another lesson. And this is the most important one, and the one that I would like to share with you guys. The great power of trolling, the great power of harassment in the digital era, now more than ever, is that you set the agenda for reaction. You set the agenda for what people are talking about. It reminded me of a couple years ago when, I forget why Brian was here. I think Brian had just come out here to record Night Attack tracks. And all of a sudden, we're up on my roof, and he finds out that there are a lot of very weird comments coming in to the Scam School YouTube channel. This, as we found out, was because on the infamous 4chan B-board, they decided that they were going to wreck somebody that day. They were going to comment bomb somebody. And we found the thread eventually where they literally just started naming YouTube people, and then they rolled a random number generator to see whether or not it was going to be that person. This was lulls for the sake of lulls. And Brian won the unlucky lottery. Brian, all of a sudden, was the one who got pedo-bombed. So, folks came into the Scam School page and said, I can't believe what you did to that 12-year-old girl, implied that they had just heard that he was arrested, and attacked mostly one video, but there was a lot of stuff all over the place. Now, this is a tricky situation because you don't really know how to react. Because your instinct is to fight it, is to say, I am not a pedophile. I have daughters. I would never, ever, ever do anything like that. Which, of course, makes you sound like you're guilty. So, what did we do? Well, I was very proud of this because we brainstormed it and realized the only way this stops is if it becomes unfunny. The only way that the music that your parents don't want you to hear becomes uncool is if your dad comes down and starts rapping along with it, right? Well, let me welcome everybody to the state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track hits your eardrums like a slug to the chest. Pack a vest for your Jimmy in the city assess. That's the, now all of a sudden, the shit that used to be explicit lyrics, dirty, super cool, rock and roll, is now the least cool thing on the planet. So we shot a video. Took a Go Game gold medal, tore it off, the decal, and wrote /B on it. And Brian gave his acceptance speech where he was so thrilled that he was honored with a B raid. We also intentionally put the slash on the B the wrong way, which was just a little fuck you back to them. But what we did was take the energy and brought it to the least funny place, and it stopped. If Brian had fought against it, it would have been emboldened, because a frustrated, red-faced Brian screaming that he's not a pedophile is exactly what they wanted. They set the agenda with an expectation in mind. So let's take it back to what this is. Twitter, Instagram, comments. When bad behavior happens, it is powerful because now we are discussing the bad behavior. And it's more granular than that. Even in this chat with people that are super rad and we have talked to a bunch before, as soon as I brought up this woman, the comments were about the writing of The Last Jedi. This isn't a conversation about the writing of The Last Jedi. The comments on my Twitter account were about the writing of The Last Jedi. And I found myself saying, I literally typed out a response to somebody who was like, oh, yeah, well, she says that, but then everybody dies at the beginning of the movie fighting those they hate. And it's like, I was like about to write, I had written out this whole thing of like, well, I mean, really, that's the story of the movie, though, right? Is that a character goes, you know, into a situation and kills a bunch of people because he wants to be the hero and he feels good. But really, this is about, you know, sometimes you need to strategically leave. They had an opportunity to save the fleet. This person didn't do it. So now this other person is going out of her way to save somebody that she loves. And that's the moral. The moral is about saving and not killing. And I was about to hit send when I said no. No, 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 no. This isn't about that. This isn't about me. I didn't start a conversation about the writing of The Last Jedi. Maybe at some point I'd like to. Maybe at some point I'd like to say, okay, hey, let's have a conversation about this. But this isn't about that. This is about this woman. This is about harassment. And so I deleted everything that I had written, and I just wrote, I love Star Wars. And now, anybody who is not having the conversation that I want to have, and make no mistake, I don't expect everybody to read my mind. But I'm not going to indulge the conversation going in a different direction. So now anybody who's having a conversation that I don't want to have, I just say, I like Star Wars. Or Star Wars makes me happy. I just go full Ralph Wiggum. Because I want to show, and this is communication. This is where I think that we are in an awkward adolescence. I feel like this is part of us learning how to be together at all times. That sometimes we just have to show there's no pathway down here. It's Ralph Wiggum monosyllabic. you can have an actual response if you go down this path. Please feel free. And there's no shame in not wanting to have that conversation. If you don't want to have that conversation, that's fine. But I'm just letting you know where I am. And when I think about the future of the internet, I hope that this is closer to where we're at. I hope that this is something that we can learn more about. I hope that for me personally, the next time I see bad behavior, my first instinct will be to counteract it instead of to validate those that behaved badly. And I hope that when I see a larger conversation that I find valuable, I make sure that we keep on that conversation and don't indulge people who are reframing things for their own gain, their own pleasure, their own lulls. Now, this is coming from somebody that people are rightly taking me to task, that I oftentimes like to provoke people. I am guilty of this kind of reframing. I am myself a troll, right? It is indeed part of my nature. And maybe this is why I think about it so much. Because Open Bayou points out the fact that I openly try to solicit hatred by mentioning things like Rogue One's a terrible movie and if you like it, you're bad. And Tal Azarel says that, yes, that's lovely, but why does Zelda suck? Because I went on a whole rant trying to rile people up about how Zelda's a bad game. So I understand I am an imperfect messenger for this, you know, bon mot of peace, love, and understanding. However, it is something that I think about a lot. And knowing, coming from the position of the troll, I can understand it a little bit. I can. Man, you want to know what? That went way longer than I thought it was going to go. I feel like we might just have to get right into things, because Trench Reynolds sent a great thing about being pants drunk. This is a Nordic way to be, a way of life. We got a great email from Joe about going to a massage parlor and people trying to touch his dick. We're already halfway through the show, so I think we just got to get into the emails. We'll move this all to next week. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, these are your emails. Go ahead and send them in to me at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. We want to debut a new segment. This is something that we have asked for here on the show for a little bit, and I want to make sure I know there's some people out there
in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male and the other
they listen to this show high as fuck.
Females. God only knows what they were up to in there.
So I want to debut this segment I like to call
all four of them habitually smoke marijuana
by the name of
Reefers.
High Thoughts. High Thoughts are by default anonymous. So please send in your anonymous High Thoughts to justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. This one came in this week. I'm high, and I just listened to your podcast asking for high questions. My girlfriend's cat was being a dick, so I went on to call him a disparaging name and couldn't come up with the feline version of the N-word. So my high question to you is, if cats had an N-word, what would it be? That might be too high for me, man. All right. What would be... All right. So let's break this down. What would the female version of a slur... Or not the female. The feline version of a slur... I mean, I guess historically, slurs come from painful moments in a history, in a shared history, right? The reason why the N-word is an N-word is because that was part of what black people were called during a very painful portion of their history. So what is the worst? I mean, like, are cats just privileged animals? Like, what's the worst, historically, the worst moments in the entire species of cats? Are cats the white people of the animal kingdom? That's another one. Witch lover, suggests Stephanie Ray C.A. Fleabag. See, Shiflock says feral, and I'm kind of in line for that. The other problem with this is that cats don't speak English, so you can probably call them anything. The reason why people say slurs is because they are looking to injure somebody. You can't really injure a cat. You can just kind of cold shoulder it. I mean, I guess you feral piece of shit, maybe. But in the spirit of high thoughts, let's change and just let's get into who is more of the white people of the animal kingdom, if not cats. Are all cats white people and are all white people cats? Oh, man. I swear to God, somebody right now is on a little bit too much of an edible and their mind just got blown. If your mind just got blown listening to this, A, send in your own high thoughts to justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put Cherie in the subject line. But also hit me up on Twitter @JustinRYoung and just say, my mind was just blown. Let's move on. Steven writes, when will the ad dragon... or the fish that I turned into during April Fool's Day, do an entire episode of the Friday Hype Train like Satan did a few weeks ago. For those of you not aware who don't aren't patrons or listen to the Friday Hype Train or watch the Friday Hype Train, there was a visit by
Satan on the show. So, yeah, you know, Satan came on. And did a whole Friday hype train. And it was great. People called in. They asked Satan a question. And that was that. Fun times.
The problem with the ad dragon is that some people really, 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 really like the ad dragon. Some people find the voice grating and ridiculous. I'm also of the opinion that the ad dragon, for those of you who are unaware, the ad dragon came around because we, oh, geez, I forget which problem this was. I think it was, we got in trouble twice on Twit when we were doing NSFW show with ads because... one of them we called spam a rapist, and the other we got in trouble because the bit we were doing with all of our ads was that I would say the ads were for something else, and Brian would just kind of straight read the copy. And so one of the times I made a joke that Squarespace was your number one place to get guns and ammunition because Obama is taking all of your guns, Squarespace, and their new motto, clack, clack. So I forget which version of that brought upon the ad dragon, but I was banned from reading ads. That was the punishment. The punishment is that Justin's no longer allowed to talk during ads. And I told Brian, and it's funny, you can actually go see him. You can always go, you can see his face. That day, I had told him that, all right, I'm going to still read the ad, but I'm going to wear a professional wrestler's mask, and it won't be me. Justin will be very upset that he's banned. I will come in and read the ad. And so when I told him professional wrestler, I think he thought that I would be doing a like, hey, man, it's me, the ad dragon, and that's why you need to get on HelloFresh. HelloFresh gives you a meal kit. Eat healthy. Eat easy. Eat HelloFresh. But instead, because I've never seen a hat that I don't want to put another hat on, I decided to make the ad dragon. Hey, y'all, it's me, the ad dragon. I got another couple of hot deals coming into the station, y'all. Woo, woo. So I don't know why he had to have a lilting, high-pitched southern voice, but he did. And the ad dragon became, it was a thing, and we did a payoff at one of the South by Southwest. And it was good. The problem is that in that context, it worked. It was funny. Like, we were doing something ridiculous. And to prove again that you can do anything you want in this world if you're funny enough while you're doing it, even Twit, the network, there was somebody assigned to watch all of our ads to make sure that we didn't piss off another advertiser. And they went back to the powers that be and said, yeah, he's wearing a mask and he's doing a voice, but he's still reading the ads. And so the response was, is he reading them right? And I was like, yeah, he's reading them right. And they were just like, fucking whatever. They're just so exasperated with us. So I don't quite know if Ad Dragon has the staying power. It certainly is more than an it's more of an in-joke than, let's say, Satan is. Everybody has their own idea of what Satan is. Nobody looks at the ad dragon and says, oh, there we go, that's the ad dragon. So I don't think that we would do a full thing. However, I would not be against people writing in to ask questions of the characters, if you want. If anybody wants to write in and ask a question of Otfi or Captain Morgan or Ad Dragon or Satan, then that's fine. Please feel free. Cocaine Mike, whatever you want. Any of the characters are fair game. If you want to ask them a question, I'm sure they would be happy. Iris Sockman, all of them would be very, very happy to speak with you if you would like to do it. As for the fish was a Twitter bit. Like, what would I do? What would I do? I just have a stock footage of a fish swimming around like a tank and just have people call in and say like, hey, I got some great news. I got a new job today. And I'll just say glub into the microphone. Glub. 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 I feel like that would be a bit that would lose steam fairly fast. But thank you so much for writing in, Steven. That's Steven Schleicher, by the way. Sorry to dox you. Captain Fubar writes, dear God, Justin. Okay, I just have to tell you what happened when I was reading this last email. So he's talking about the free political newsletter that I write 5 days a week, freepoliticalnewsletter.com. I should start out by telling you that I'm drunk. That's because I've been drinking. See, I've been drinking with my friends. I've been out with a few friends from college that were in the area. But they weren't my normal hetero friends. No, they were my most fun-as-fuck drag show friends from when I used to film and photograph their annual college shows. So we've been visiting up a few local gay joints when I decided that I was done drinking for a bit. Anywho, while they're getting their groove on, I did the most Poindexter thing I could think of. Read up on political news via the amazing and free political newsletter, which you can subscribe to at freepoliticalnewsletter.com. Turns out that the newsletter I decided to catch up on wasn't just covering the basics like Stormy Daniels, Trump getting sprung on Kim K, or even the news about the other Kim that Trump's obsessed with. No, this newsletter was covering Klokov. So for those of you who don't know, there was a BuzzFeed article that came out yesterday about how Ivanka Trump made contact with a Russian weightlifter by the name of Klokov. If you Google Klokov, you find a tremendous amount of very funny GIFs. And so in the newsletter, let's see if I can actually show that. In the newsletter, I will show everybody who is watching at twitch.tv/JustinRYoung or watching on YouTube, youtube.com/JustinRobertYoung, what he responded to or what he was reading. At this gay bar. Here we go. Let's scroll down a little bit. So I just posted a shit ton of Klokov gifs. And a few of them, one's a slow motion panning up his ass. The other is him flexing as if he is in a bodybuilding competition, except he just seems like he's in somebody's backyard, which is really funny. The next is another slow-mo shot, except this time it's of his dick for some reason. Then there's one of him lifting two women on a beach, like each woman is on either end of a barbell, and he's lifting them. And the third is his pecs and his face. So, let's go back to the email. This was about Klokov, ripped, built, godly Klokov, who was which also included perfectly gift illustrations, mind you, gifts, which let me tell you, don't bother me in the least, really. It's just that with the gifts filling my phone screen, it was very difficult to tell a man who happened to see me perusing Klokov's body that I was actually indeed straight and cis. He asked me more than once why I'd been reading an email like that if I wasn't at least bi. He was wasted, so I don't hold hold this against him. It was quite vexing, but soon I explained what you do, Justin, and the humor behind your politics. So hey, maybe you gained a new follower. I just realized that I don't have an ending, just a story to tell, but goddammit, jury, this newsletter is fucking gold. I mean, open question. Does reading the free political newsletter make you buy? You can only take the challenge for yourself by subscribing to the freepoliticalnewsletter.com. It did actually make me want to ask a question. So here would be my pride-centric question to the gays in the audience. When it comes to gay bars, what is the modus operandi for not only our friend Captain Fubar, but rather the lurker, the person who's at the gay bar that insists they're straight, knowing, of course, that straights are always welcome at a gay bar. You know, no shame in the game. been to a few gay bars myself. Always seemed like a fun community and fellowship. But what is there a rule of thumb? Is there a personal ethos? Like, is it like walk up and just feel the vibes, and if the vibes aren't there, then that's fine? Like, is there, you know, a friend zoning that might go on? I don't know. I'm asking. I'm looking for the experience of gay bar veterans to bring your piece of culture to a larger mainstream audience by way of me, the conduit of a curious heteroman. So please go ahead and write those in. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. And if you haven't thought about it, I think it is something that would be worth codifying. Just your own POV. I'm not saying there's one way of doing it. I'm just curious what the range is. Kevin writes, I get almost all my pop culture news from the Jury Show these days. When everybody else talks about this stuff, it's cringeworthy. But the lens that you view the world through is a perfect antidote. Please don't stop dissecting the current zeitgeists in the way that you do otherwise. I won't be able to join in the conversation with my hip friends when they talk about anything that happened past 2011. We also have a few emails that came in. I read a dating trend story about R-bombing. And so I asked people before listening, I was like, listen, just write into me what R-bombing, what you think R-bombing is. Before you hear it, stop the podcast, write in. So Nick wrote in, R-bombing is telling her, sleep with me or you're racist. Or having her try to guess your name, which turns out to be Rumpelstiltskin. I don't know, I'm drunk. Somebody in the chat wrote when I did the high thoughts thing, can you do drunk thoughts too? That's just called the rest of the emails I get. The rest of the emails, a shockingly high percentage of the emails come in with some version of I've been drinking or I'm drunk. I can't imagine that it's much that different than what I'm sure many people after a gay bar hear when somebody is engaged in too gay of an activity than their psyche will allow them. There's just a lot of excuses, and I'm sorry, I'm drunk. I'm sorry, I'm drunk. Hooking up at the gay bar and writing in to the Jury Show. The things that you have to, what is things you have to apologize or explain, over-explain that you've been drinking beforehand? Adam writes, I just started today's ep. My guess as to what R-bombing is, the swift act of cementing a relationship with a new partner in hopes of keeping that person interested. I think this is a better use of that phrase, R-bombing. To just say, no, we're boyfriend and girlfriend now. Like, bah, drop a bomb. On the R-bombing subject, Glenn wrote, Glenn from Canada here. I agree with everything you said about the weaponization of empathy. But I think there's another side of this coin that was missed. I've always been less concerned about demonization of the other than I am about the innocence of the self. The idea that the thing you're complaining about, that something that only they do, not us, nope, no siree, just them. To show why this is important, take the example of R-bombing. If the author realizes that this is a normal thing, and by the way, for those of you who didn't listen last week, R-bombing is when you text somebody and you see that they've read it, but they don't reply. It's essentially just giving the cold shoulder to somebody. But in this digital age of verification, you now know that they decided to give you the cold shoulder, and for whatever reason, they haven't just read your text. So to show why this is important, take the example of R-bombing. If the author realizes that this is a normal thing that they themselves do from time to time, it becomes a lot less personal. But more importantly, a lot less hurtful. This lack of context that comes with a heavily externalizing these issues hurts everybody. It turns the mundane into active attacks and threats. Also, when we come across actual things that we have to fix, because it's seen as something only other people do, it really limits how much actual change we see on a personal level. Glenn, I could not agree more. It is a cliche to say that the thing that annoys you the most is likely the thing that annoys you the most about yourself. If you feel that people interrupt you too much, maybe you're somebody who interrupts people. If you feel that people don't listen to you, you might be a person for whom doesn't listen to others. There is a restless feeling that I've had for the past few months that got put into perspective listening to music. Specifically the Kendrick and SZA song All the Stars from the Black Panther soundtrack, which I love. I think it's a great fucking song. But to paraphrase, there's a Kendrick line where he says, oh, you're the moral of the story that you're telling. And that's stuck with me because I feel like I can very often make myself the moral of the story. I'm the victim. I'm the one being put upon. If only other people did stuff that I would have loved them to do. And so if that's the case, then all improvement to the world can come back to you bettering yourself. Or at least having a cognizant idea of how can the first step of me changing the world begin with me right now. And so whenever I found myself getting self-pitying, whenever I'm on my what about me, what about Raven, I keep having that very disdainful spitting of the Kendrick song come up in my head. Oh, you're the moral of the story, huh? Oh, yeah. Fuck. I guess I'm not. But I can be the moral of this podcast. I mean, you have to be self-involved to do a show where you're the only one talking. And you can be a part of it. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. I do want to talk really, really quick about the tour this weekend. We are going to be in San Diego on the 9th. That is this Saturday. We are going to be in Los Angeles on the 10th. This is a big step forward for the show. I feel like our ability to make this as profitable as possible emotionally and at least break even financially is going to be very important. And I'm excited to do it. I'm always excited to see everybody. I'm always excited to meet everybody. We're going to spend a lot of time on San Diego doing a little bit of a pub crawl through the gas lamp. And then Sunday, man, special guests on special guests on special guests. Andrew Main, Anthony Carboni, Tom Merritt. We got a dude from an old dude from Crack that Brian's a friend of, and a few extras as well. You know, some friends of the show, both old and new. It's gonna be fun, man. It's gonna be a blast. I would love to see you guys out there. And you want to know what? As I always like to do, Michael Swaim is the name of the guy from Crack. Sorry, I should know that. Plugging the fucking show. I'll always love to give a little secret password. So if you meet me, I want you to give me the secret password of are bombing. Just tell me that you're are bombing. And I'll know who the real friends are. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, that about wraps it up. Exclusive merch at the shows, by the way. Exclusive stickers. If you want stickers yourself, you can go to stickers or DIAF.com where you get all the Diamond Club merch. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Snapchat too, Justin R. Young. You can join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. You can subscribe live, watch live at twitch.tv/JustinRYoung and subscribe for free if you have Amazon Prime. You got to do it every month, though. So keep on keeping on. Head on over to twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. It should walk you through how to make a Twitch account if you don't already have one and how to connect it to your Amazon Prime. That money goes away if you don't use it. So I call dibs. Give it to me. It's only fair. That about wraps it up. My name is Justin Robert Young. Friends, I would like to remind you that I have one request. Please, don't.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.